listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Wayne. It's not raining, but it is Wayne Fritz. There he is. Wayne, good afternoon to you.
Thank you.
And with us today, we have a special guest. Looking forward to our chat today with Ryan Riegel. Welcome, sir.
Thanks, Bruce. And Wayne, really appreciate the opportunity to be here with you today.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, Ryan. I'll tell you, I'd like to give you a little proper introduction, if you don't mind. I mean, Ryan is the president and CEO of the Riegelware Corporation out of West Bend, Wisconsin. And just because his last name is Riegel and the company is called Riegelware has nothing to do with it. This guy's worked, just like every person in that family, they've worked their way from the very bottom, which this applies to our coaching, is they work their way from the bottom to, and that maybe they got into the company because of a reason, but it was their efforts that put them where they are today. Every one of them has had to do that. I mean, Ryan, when he came down to visit Salad Master, it was part of his growth, but he worked in the factory. He put screws in electric skillets. He's done it all. And then when he came and started working with Salad Master, he went directly to Phoenix, Arizona. You know, we wanted to get him tested by the fire in many ways, and he got tested by the fire of Arizona. And he was there for, I think, 90 days. He actually did the field work. He actually went out. Our company does in-home presentations. This guy did in-home presentations. He went out knocking doors. He did everything that we have to do. At 90 days, and then he came into the office and he moved up through a year or so into the president's seat of Salad Master. And I experienced what Ryan did within Salad Master is he put a good team in place. So he's good at that. He's good at kind of what you call talent scouting. He's very good at that. He put that in place. He went back up to Wisconsin. And in about a year or so, then he was made the president and CEO, and he's leading that company into the future. And I'm telling you what, it's an amazing growth pattern. So Ryan, we really want to welcome you. And yet at the same time, you know, you hear all these accolades, and he got, by the way, he did get his master's degree over here at TCU. So he's not an, you know, he's not an A&M guy, Bruce, for you, but he's TCU, and he's a good guy to have out in the evening to have a big orange drink with too. So
awesome. Yeah. Well, I learned that I learned that from the best way, and that was you. That
one. But Ryan, what I was so excited to get you on this program because you are a good coach, and what you do, I think, and what I look at all of us do is we all coach. I mean, even your daughter Anna, who's about 3 and a half, she coaches her dad. You know,
so she wishes she was better than she is, but yeah, she's trying.
But we all coach, and I just would like, if I could, I mean, Bruce is going to have some questions, but what I don't even know where to start, Ryan. I mean, you're the guy that always, I'm older than you, but you came into Salad Master and coached me. I mean, seriously, that's I think part of coaching on my end is that you have to have an open mind if you're going to be coached. You know, you have to be willing to listen. Doesn't matter who it is coaching, if they have the information you need to learn, you need to be able to accept it. So,
well, I appreciate the kind of words there. I'm kind of wondering who that guy is you were just talking about. But it's been a great ride so far, and I'm pretty darn excited about the opportunity that I have that's in front of me, that's in front of this organization. And you know, it's amazing what time and perspective gives you. 10 years ago, I don't think I would ever said we're in the people business, but that's all we are at the end of the day. And I don't think it matters what business it is. It's all about the people. and who comes in that front door and every day and what they do and the impact they make and how ultimately we can connect them with that vision of where we're going. So it affords us that opportunity to coach ultimately. I think it's a bigger challenge in today's day and age than perhaps it's ever been. So I kind of wish I was born maybe 50 years ago. I think the world was a little simpler in some ways back then. But it's an exciting opportunity in front of all of us in the world today, really.
I agree. Man, I'll tell you, I watched I get a little deal from John Maxwell, and this morning was, he gives a little minute with Maxwell every day. And today was talking about simplicity. And he said, a guy interviewed him, and he told him, he said, man, your books are pretty simple. And actually, he was kind of slamming him. You know, he was kind of burning him. And John said, yeah, they are. And of course, this guy sold millions and millions of books. But he said, they are simple. And he said, as a matter of fact, I try to take something that is hard sometimes, or people have made it hard, and I try to put it into simple form that everybody can understand it. And the gist of the conversation, remember, it was just 1 minute. He said, so if I could give you any advice today, it's go out there and be simple. You know, we all have to do. That's why, you know, I'm always preaching about the square and stuff. It's just a simple, basic. We do want to keep things simple. And Ryan, I think that's one of your successes in front. Now, in the back, you've got all this business going on. You've got all this complexity, but when you come out of the front and you start pushing that down, so to speak, and coaching, you coach in a very, you coach it where anyone could understand. You put it in a very simple language. That's, to me, I think, is always a key when you're working with people.
Obviously, that's like all of us, we're works in progress. And as time goes by, you get a little bit better. At least you hope to be getting a little bit better. But you just remind me there, Wayne, I was watching I forget the name of the show. I think it was A Football Life on the NFL Network last week. And they did the profile. It was an hour-long show on Nick Saban. And I like it when they do the coaches because, I mean, obviously that's the topic at hand today. But really to see how they've evolved through their career to have the success. And one thing that really stuck out to me, to your point here, that he said, and they pose a question to him. I think he's won 6 national championships at Alabama and 1 at LSU, so 7 championships. And the question was, how do you continue that on? And his answer basically came down to people who focus on the outcome, that's the distraction. You can't focus on the outcome. You have to focus on the inputs that it takes to get you ultimately where you want to be. And Wayne, you brought up that example, and I know a lot of people on this podcast might not know it, but your square. The square is the simple process of which Salamaster, to be successful in Salamaster, or really any sales business, let's be honest, it is taking it and focusing on the inputs versus the outcome, because we all know the outcomes happen when we do the right inputs. And to hear Nick Saban talk about that and profess it, and I think his wife, even in the show, was going, all he talks about is the inputs, and she was kind of bemoaning a little bit. But I couldn't think of a better example of ultimately what it means. So how do we break it down to the ridiculous simple small steps? Because it's just 1 foot in front of the other. And if we can do that, then our folks got a better chance of success.
So Ryan, it's pretty much sales coaching is what the primary focus is. Or what else?
In my role today, Bruce?
Yeah.
Well, I wish it was that simple. We're just put in context. We've got 4 different locations, 3 of them in the United States and 1 in the UK. And then we have 2 sub offices, 1 in Australia and 1 in Korea. So we have the front end sales organization, but we also have here in Wisconsin a manufacturing facility. We're running about 2.5 shifts here, 1.5, I guess. We've got about 550,000 square feet. We're making primarily cookware. So trying to balance all of the needs there. I've been very fortunate to have mentors in my life like Wayne, who are by far better sales folks than I'll ever be. But finding great team members like a Wayne, like an Iowa Allsunday, who's the president of our Salamaster division today, that they're experts in sales and everything that needs to go around it. I get sales theory. I get the basics of it. But when you find somebody like, you know, Wayne's like that pitcher who goes out there and just is a master of his art and throws strikes all the time. And I just love watching people are masters of their craft. But to your point before, Wayne, it's about finding the right team members and getting them plugged into play. So, you know, I know where my skills are and I know where they're not. And that's equally as important. But Bruce, I think, sorry to ramble on here. On you, but having the ability now in this role to look at not just the P&L sales side of things, but also the balance sheet, to be working on a manufacturing strategy, capital investment, banking needs, investor relations. It's, you know, coaching today for me looks a whole lot different than it did 12 months ago. I'll tell you that. And I think that's something that I'm still learning and adjusting to because it's very different.
I have a random question. Since you are doing manufacturing, how are you guys dealing with logistics and supply chain issues with the pandemic? Is that really screwing you guys over a little bit? Or are you guys okay with all that?
Well, we're definitely not where we want to be. I'll tell you that. Now, we're struggling just like anybody else is. We've been fortunate on one aspect, and our raw material supply chain has been okay. Very extended lead times and getting it, but we've been okay there. Where our challenge has been is growth and changes in demand, and then some bizarre componentry, not the major components, but like, and right now, just put in perspective, we need some rubber gaskets. They're sitting on one of the 73 ships that's outside of the Long Beach port right now. And we've got our customers now that have been waiting for 2 months to get these items, but we can't get those off of that boat. And that's a 7-cent item that's holding up thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. So as much as anything, it's dealing with those issues. And I think more importantly, it's coaching, you know, since the topic here at hand, it's coaching our sales team. And how do you work with a customer in taking a negative situation and trying to make it as positive as possible? And that's, I'm not sure, to be honest, Bruce, we've done as well as we can and or should be doing in that area. But that's ultimately where I think our success has to come in is just communication and doing it better so that the customers, because at some point customers get frustrated. They'll accept delays for a little while, but at some point, you know, you got to prevent it from going negative. And that's just communication and coaching.
Yep. Sounds good.
I think one thing that has a benefit for that is every time you turn on the news or you see the news in the paper or online, one of the things jumps up, sir, is that process of getting things delivered right now. Everyone's having it. But I tell you what, when I talk, we talk about our sales force and the coaching of them. You know, it's interesting that we always say the problems happen in the field, but they're also solved in the field. Because those people have to get up. What am I going to do today? I've got a house payment due, or I've got a car payment due, or I've got payroll due, just like anybody that owns a business. And so they figure out a way to get business. You know, with a retail business, they had to do some things too to get people. They went online or they had special sales. Well, what we did is we developed, because we were in person. We did in-person presentations, in-home presentations. And now I'm hearing all this success. We hear it every day, people doing virtual. They're doing Zoom calls. They're doing presentations. And they're, you know, they're never leaving their home. Well, that opens up a whole new avenue of people that we can introduce into our business. And have we can help them earn extra income. And it's just it's an opportunity to work with a whole new group of people. And believe me, some of them, they are. It's a whole different group. I mean, their whole deal is different. Their whole wants, their whole desires, their why sometimes can be the same, but they would never have done anything like this had to go outside of their home. So we're getting pretty wild things happening, and it's fun. Some of them that I've been able to coach around the world, how they're doing things, and they were forced into it. So it's good. It's a great thing. Coaching is, Ryan, I think what I've gotten out of it, and since this guy here on this program with us, but Bruce he's been my friend a good while. He was my life coach, and well, he still probably is, but he's the one that got me convinced to go into coaching and get some more focus on it and understand what it, understand what I think some of it I already had and didn't even know. So, but the coaching part is, it is relationship too. You know, I find in what I do with our company and going out there is the first time, you know, you find out what they want, what their whys are, and then you coach them through on that time after time. Ryan, you come from an area up there where, and thank goodness, you never want to give Aaron Rodgers any seconds left on the clock. That was a dumb idea that they did, but because he can make something happen in 40 seconds, you know, a lot. So like a field goal.
Well, but, I wish we would have done a little sooner so I could have gone to bed earlier. But, yeah, nonetheless, it made it worth it.
So, but, you know, when you got Vince Lombardi that started his coaching, every year at practice, you know, it's a famous saying, he would stand there with the football. When you talk about the basics, and he would say, here, guys, this is a football. And that was about as basic as you could get. That's something that really stuck with me. But I'll tell you, the coaching part of, I don't want to tell tales out of school, but I'm just impressed that you're here and you're coming to Texas and you're coming for several reasons. I mean, it's always good because one thing that you do when you come is everybody in the company gathers for usually a lunch. And you have that relationship. Because everybody, when you were there, I mean, it was a fun time. There was relationships, there was communication, and I think everyone looks forward to that when you're down. And then you go around and have your pocket meetings, and you're coaching usually on all those. Ryan is a guy, Bruce, that he can't sit down and have a meeting. When Ryan has a meeting, he has a marker in his hand and a glass or a whiteboard on the wall, that he's up there drawing what he's saying. And I mean, it just makes all the sense in the world. So,
I'm just kind of curious, you know, as a third party person that knows nothing about, well, I know because of Wayne, I guess I probably know more than the average bear, but anyhow, when you come here, Ryan, for these meetings, are they going to be kind of encouragement cheerleading sessions? Are they going to be, is there going to be some corrective action coaching for, let's say, a not so well performing sector? What's the mix there?
It's both, and it's got to be, right? Obviously, we need to keep our people motivated, and this is an interesting time for not just for our business, but I think for all of us in general. Over the last 18 months and the COVID lockdowns and pandemic. Is relationships, and I heard a friend Greg Winfeld use this analogy, and you know, relationships are like a bank account, and you either debit or you credit it. And what he was talking about, and I think it makes a lot of sense, is the last 18 months about, you know, we've been pulling out of that bank account the relationships, and being in person, you just can't replace it. This is great, and you think about what would have happened, you know, 10 years ago, if this pandemic occurred without the technology we have. But being able to build relationships, it just can't happen virtually. And I don't think I believe in that more strongly than I do today. Yeah. And I'm a guy that, much like Wayne, I got to spend about 10 years on an airplane. I don't miss that part as much, but I do meet with the people because of the ability to build relationships and ultimately influence. And next week, or this week rather, coming down, really two focuses. Is one is in my organization, and the buck stops with me, is we've got some frayed relationships, and so I need to be part of the active solution and building those back together. Because at the end of the day, we all want the same thing. How we're going about trying to get there is where we're having some challenges, and we need to coach each other through that. The other part, though, is what I really absolutely love. And, you know, Wayne was talking about simplicity before. So we're doing a 2-day, we call this the annual plan building. And it's a great opportunity for the leadership of Saladmaster to come together around a process about simplifying the business, understanding the challenges, simplifying it, and articulating what the next 15 months are going to look like. And I love strategy discussion. It's a Wisconsinism, maybe, Wayne, here, but it's like making sausage. It's a little bit messy, but the end product is great. And that's what it is getting in there and identifying, you know, what are the things that are holding us back from being great, but it's also what can we be? And that whole discussion about the future and imagining possibilities and putting pen to paper about it, not just imagining it now, but going out and do it. I absolutely love it. And we, for some of the listeners here, we model our system off of the EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operating System, or Traction, as the book that Gino Wickman wrote. And it's a very, I absolutely love it. And I wish it went, I'd seen it and heard about it, and it was implementing it when I was in Texas previously. But it's such a simple way of looking at the entire business and talking a common language with everybody. And so it doesn't matter where you are in the company. It's about transparency. It's about what are the tools that we need to use. And going back to that Nick Saban analogy, it's what are those inputs? And now if everybody's talking about the inputs the same way, it gives us a better chance to be moving farther and faster. And I just absolutely, the more we've used the system, I've fallen in love with it. And it gets me excited because it takes what appears to be that, you know, the big elephant or the extreme complexity of the world, that just makes it simple. So we all can accomplish. So a long answer, good Bruce, to a short question, but you know, what's our focus? Twofold. Yep. We got relationships to mend, and we got to coach some folks on what we expect, the behaviors. And two is let's go build the future. And it's not, we're going to make it this big. It's how big can we make this thing? It's exciting. Really. I'm talking too much because I'm excited.
No, man, between the EOS and the square, man, you got Wayne in there, going to be as your closer, right? Send him in there.
Yeah. Subgroup. Yeah. So,
that system really is making the difference. And it's funny when you say it's simple because it does make things simple. I mean, everybody does talk the same language. You're kind of forced to. But you know, and when I say forced, because what I've found out in coming through this is simple is not always easy.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like there's been some people that couldn't make it because it is simple. And some people don't like simple. And that's just what's kind of funny. Well, it is. It's kind of, well, let me shake this up and make it different. You know, as Napoleon Hill said, the biggest, what people do is they take something simple and then, you know, they can grow rich. That's the first. That's an awesome one. And they take something simple and they make it hard. That's what ruins a lot of businesses. And so, everyone in an authority position or in all the way down doesn't have to come up with their own simple way of doing something.
The two pieces of that I love all of it, but the two that really kind of spoke to me is in most organizations that don't use the US process, they have the organizational chart, right? That's the hierarchy with titles on it. And EOS uses a form of that, but they call it the accountability chart. And you introduced me and I appreciate it. You know, my title is president and CEO, but at the end of the day, what does that really mean? Using the EOS system, you know, my job is to integrate strategy. That's what my title is in the system, is integrator. It's not president and CEO, because it's about what am I responsible for getting done at the end of the day? And that's what I'm responsible for. The other part within that is, instead of doing long job descriptions, I'm sure Bruce, you've seen him, Wayne, you saw him in your past. I mean, you pages and pages of job descriptions and all the things you got to do. And EOS strips all that out. And it says, you know, what are the 3 to 6 outcomes that you are responsible for? And that's it. And that's the job description. A good example that I'd use for everybody is, so we have a CFO here, but he doesn't use that title in the system. It simply says finance. And the number two thing he's responsible for is timely and accurate financial reporting. That means a whole lot of stuff, but that's ultimately what he's responsible for at the end of the day, to make sure that the business is successful and people are successful. But the first thing on anybody who's in a quote-unquote leadership or management position, the first thing in their accountability chart is, it's the three letters. It's LMA, and it's lead, manage, and hold people accountable, is what that stands for. And that's just summing up what leadership ultimately should look like. And it seems really you can gloss over it, but the deeper you dive into what that really means, I liken it to a slightly different version. It's called effective leadership plus effective management leads to accepted response or accountability. Because we all know this is I can't make you accountable. Only you can decide whether you're going to be accountable to do something. And so that L and the lead and manage component is so vitally important in making sure that you accept it is that your role is and what the organization needs out of you. And if you can't, that's a different conversation. But the simplicity of this system and how we can talk through what all this means, and it cuts out a lot of the clutter, a lot of the noise. It makes it simpler to coach, because at the end of the day, again, it's in front of everybody and the ambiguity shouldn't be there. It's part of the reason I love it.
Nice.
I'm telling you.
I'm going to have to read up on the EOS thing's been coming up a lot on my side, and I need to read on it. And
I've got it right here. This is kind of the gospel. It's called Traction by Gino Wickman. Okay. And this book is, it almost reads like a textbook.
Yes.
And it goes through the tools. Excuse me for reaching back here. I'd recommend this is written if you're familiar with the five dysfunctions, the Patrick Lencioni, it's written kind of like a novel, a story. So it takes the tools, which are in here, and puts them in story form so it's easy to understand. But I'd recommend if anybody's interested in learning more, Get a Grip. It's an easy read, but it really helps put context to all of what the tools are.
Thanks for sharing that, man.
You're welcome. Well, you were showing off books too, Bruce. So I just felt I had to get in on it.
Teaching old dog new tricks over here. Yes, sir. All right. Not necessarily new, but repackaged and simplified and all that good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's part of what I like about this too, is it's not about creating something new, as they reference the Maxwell, the Patrick Lencioni, a lot of those different well-known business gurus.
Right. Well, man, sounds like you're going to have a multifaceted, visit down here with lots of different things to do and folks to interact with. And
I'm excited about it. Well, that, and we have a beautiful daughter who's, she'll be 3 months old tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
But I'm just excited to go sleep in a hotel where I'm not going to get woken up, at least by his crying baby. That's my wife's not going to see this, I hope.
No, yeah, man, I'm going to send her a link right away.
Thank you.
No, listen, the meeting Wednesday, I always look forward to that too when he comes down, because, boy, it's always a good lunch. When Ryan walks in, everybody is excited when Ryan comes around. It's because he's one of, actually, just about that team was put together when he was in there, and when you were even in the interim period, you with Andrew and Archie and those people, that's a good team.
Definitely a very very skilled set of individuals.
And well, I mean to tell you.
Excited to see what they're going to be able to do here.
Let me ask it. Sorry, Wayne, if I'm train wrecking your show.
Please jump in.
So the pandemic happens. Mm-hmm. You guys do a marvelous job of pivoting, using online, technology to do demonstrations and shows versus having to go live in somebody's house. And I'm thinking about, different paradigms, like back in the day, the whatever that is, maybe 5, 6, even 10 years ago, the typical person you have was like a person that was maybe sales oriented and a people person, mm-hmm. might go out and visit and socialize and set up the party, set up the whole thing at the house or whatever. But I wonder now with the pandemic, are you guys getting, ask both of you, are you guys getting employees or staff that are just like, hey man, I want to work from home. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not interested in being a millionaire and I'm not Susie, I'm not wearing an apron right now. I don't know. You know what I mean? Are you getting, is there this new type of employee you guys are having because of the pandemic is what I'm asking. Thank you.
Yeah, Wayne, you want to go first?
Well, there's two. When you're talking about corporate, that's different. I think we're going through that now. There's a lot of people that kind of, maybe some of them had babies during the pandemic.
Sure.
And it's hard for them. It's easier for them not to go back, you know, because they've got that kid dragging them also. Well, I don't mean that, but they've got that bond.
Ryan's like,
that's not HR's the not listening. It's
that's
okay.
Not our stand. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, but maybe the mother, like a mother, doesn't want to.
Right.
She wants to stay home all of a sudden, and right. And if her job doesn't need her in person. Actually, right. I think that the company has made great strides in kind of work with that. There's some days they should be in, you know, because you got to mingle with people. There's some days that you can do your job from home. So I think that that's it. Now, as far as the field. Yeah, that's a different deal. I mean, we've got people that can stay at home. And when we started meeting in person, they were excited because our business runs and thrives on not only relationships, but we also, our business thrives on recognition. You know, you get these people that join that have never been in front of anyone live, they get this recognition that they've never had before. I mean, I go back to when I was brought into this business by a school teacher and his wife, and she was also a school teacher. And he told me, he said, Wayne, I'm not in this for any recognition. I don't care about recognition. I don't care. Well, our business was structured at that time that I did real well, and I brought him along with me. That's how the structure was. So when I got an award, like he got this big diamond award, guess what? Meant a lot to him all of a sudden. Recognition. I'll never forget that. I was just in my 20s and I went, oh, recognition doesn't mean anything to you when you're not getting it.
Right.
But all of a sudden, when you see what it's awarded to you, then all of a sudden you want to strive and get some more.
Can't get that grizzly bear to go back to bear.
Can't get him to go back in time. He's awake. And so it's very interesting how that affected what I saw going forward in my career. So when we get these people together, I just was at a banquet Saturday night, I think it was. Shoot, it's been a crazy weekend. Or Thursday, it was with Rob's region, Ryan, and there was a couple hundred people in that room. And some of them hadn't been out, you know, much, but they've been doing shows. And there was a lot of awards. That was a great, great evening and great speakers, great presentations. And people left that room ready to break the doors down. It was a life-changing event is what it was. And so you get people together in the sales. You want to see people. You want somebody to come out and know you. You want to be known, and you want to see the people that are known.
Yeah, I can't really add too much more. I just want to make a couple quick notes here. But and definitely two parts of the business. There's the, what we'll call it, the office, and then there's the field sales organization. And the office, the term I wrote down, it's really about flexibility in the world and making sure that we're adapting to the needs of the individual versus having a flat policy that says we're going to all be remote or we're all going to be in the office. Everybody and if we don't recognize the differences and what everybody's going through in their own life and work with them to figure out what the best the best way to make sure that we can operate the business, then we're doing ourselves a disservice, and we're not going to be an employer that people are going to want to join. The thing that I think we struggled with as just being, you know, open and honest with listeners, what we struggled with is, especially early on in the pandemic, is you had a lot of these companies and you know, out in California, a lot of those tech companies that said, we're all going remote, we're all virtual, we're never coming back to the office again. And so people hear that, and what they fail to do is connect the dots that says, well, wait a second, what is our true business here? And if you're a tech company sitting behind a computer, there's nothing wrong with it. Please don't take my comments as that. But it's a very different product you're delivering. We're in a relationship business. And like we talked about earlier, relationships get built, you know, in person. And so I think our folks struggled a little bit early on. And still, we have a couple pockets where it's a little challenging. We have to overcome that, you know, one-on-one. But we're an in-person business. And for us to support our dealer who's out there ultimately delivering this product and service to the customer, we've got to be there with them. We've got to be shoulder to shoulder. And so flexibility is vital to that, to make sure we got the right people, but it's we got to be there with our customers because that's what's most important. And on the field side, yes, an interesting question, Bruce. On the sales side of things, I think we're seeing a shift in what the average salesperson, if I can use that terminology, really does look like. When Wayne started a couple of years back, we won't put a number on that, but when Wayne started, I mean, we had an organization of highly trained, albeit Wayne was a sheriff when he joined, but became a highly trained, highly skilled salesperson. And I think that's shifted a bit to not as much as a full-time opportunity to a part-time opportunity, to where we're appealing to people that are looking maybe not for this as a single career option, if you will, but it's supplemental. It's fun. I can do it on nights and weekends. There's a little bit of extra income that's associated with it. There's recognition and travel. And really where we're finding a lot of success is people that are just crazy passionate about family, food, and nutrition. And granted, I probably don't look like the last one there, the nutrition as much, but when you get people that are crazy passionate around those subjects, it's not as much about the income opportunity. Yes, really important, not trying to diminish it, but it's about the community and it's about recognition and all those other elements that go along with it. So I think we're seeing a shift in what that group of people looks like. And I'm curious as to where it's really going to go here in the next couple of years, because this all virtual world has opened us up to, you know, like a sales funnel. Well, we just added another sales funnel. So we have two funnels now of potential prospects for both sales opportunities as well as purchasing product. So it's going to be interesting to see where it goes. And I almost think we might not see as many salespeople joining the business, but we'll find people that are crazy passionate about the community that want to almost be a lead generator for somebody like a Wayne out there. And so they're still in the circle, if you will, but they're not, it's a slightly different role from what it might've been 5 years ago, 10 years ago. So again, long answer to another short question, but hopefully that hit.
No, you're right.
I got one more question here real quick. When you, I guess from the field side or the sales side, what's the biggest source of attrition or people leaving? Is it that you get somebody that's kind of like a Unabomber and can't have relationships with other people, and then that person, oh, sorry, you know what I mean? That's just a little contract, but who just kind of a cold person that really can't join. What would you say some of the traits are of the people that wash out, or they're just not, you know, organically?
Wayne's seen this a lot more than I have, so I'll go first and you can fill in, Wayne. But I think we don't get people that join that are the quote unquote Unabomber because the opportunity doesn't appeal to them to be part of an organization. So that's not the issue. I go back to the biggest issue is the inputs versus the outcome. And everybody joins, and even though I just said it's not all about money, at the end of the day, you got to make some money. You don't need to be a millionaire necessarily, but you got to make some money. And so it's the people that wash out, if you will, of the opportunity, I think are the ones that aren't making money, but it's because, not because they can't, it's because they're not putting the inputs into doing it. In any sales business, I don't care what the product is, it's all about how much prospecting are you doing? How many potential customers or clients are you in front of every day? And how full is that funnel? And if you're in front of the right number, if your funnel's full, you're going to make sales. If you're going to make sales, you're not going to meet them. And so I think it's a basic sales business, and it's the people not willing to put the time and effort into honing their craft are the ones that don't make it. But Wayne, that's my perspective.
That's spot on. I mean, that's never, ever, 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 ever changed from way before me to right now. It's funny that, you know, I don't know if I said this on the program ever yet, but my grandfather was a very successful insurance branch manager. And he, when I got into sales, listen, this guy, I've got a watch of his in a safe that's dated 1954 for being a member of the $1 million round table. And that was collected premiums back then. So that'd be crazy today. Mm-hmm. And so he was very successful. But he told me, he said, Wayne, now he said, I'm just going to quote him. He said, a salesman, didn't say anything about anybody but me, but he said, a salesman, the success of a salesman depends on the time he prospects. And he said, a successful salesperson spends 85% of their time prospecting. That's a, now think about that. So when you're talking about, that's 85% of their time putting wood into the stove. Mm-hmm. And only 15% of the time enjoying that warmth. In other words, in front of qualified prospects. And so, man, and then would you believe it or not, I got an album. And I used to listen to albums. Those are the things that were, before the vinyl, they were like plastic. And we threw them as, you know, flying saucers and things. But I got one that talked about that, and it said the same thing, 85% prospect. So really, it's the same always. And it's the same today. If someone, people get excited about our business, that's our, one of our responsibilities is to get people excited about looking at our business and joining our business. So if we get them wound up and they join, the reason mostly that they muster out is because they haven't understood that basic, that they haven't been willing to do the looking, the prospecting.
And one of the things I've learned from Wayne is like, hey, man, book the show, book those show. There's probably a lingo that I'm missing here, but, you know, but just get them booked, get those shows booked, get those presentations, those shows booked. And I thought, wow. And it seemed like that was such a huge metric, you know. So anyway.
Bruce has still not booked a show with me. You know, every now and then we get those folks that are hard to book the show with. We just kind of hang in there, you know.
That's yeah. You always get them eventually. It just takes a little bit of time.
It just takes time. Yeah. I'm going to put him on, I'm going to show him the list of the others.
Oh, my God. This is one of my biggest fears that you would bring that up during a show. And not only does it happen, but it happens with the brass here.
Oh, and,
lovely. Well, anyway.
We'll get you eventually, Bruce. Don't you worry.
Maybe they have a coffee cup that I can go out. Just kidding. Anyway, all right. Woo. Well,
that's been great, hasn't it?
Took the wind out of my sails for sure.
This has been great. This has been great. Ryan, this is unbelievable. I mean, you know, when you, and frankly, the more I, the, it's funny about the book Traction and the Get a Grip is it is simple. And that does dribble down to coaching at every level. And I can vouch for the people inside the office here that a lot of those people, I think that it made them such better leaders in their departments. I mean, Mary, they're just... Brenna, they're over and over because they use that system. They were taught that system, and they're not out there on their own trying to manage, you know, manage people. They actually have a workbook, and they know that not only do I have my group that I'm managing, but you have yours, and you have yours, and Ryan, you have yours, and we're all doing the same type. We're all following the same map. That's, you know, just think about that. You know, you're going to find the pot of gold if you're all using the same map, going the same direction, because the X is there.
So I haven't found the leprechaun that's sitting on that pot of gold quite yet, but I'm going to keep looking.
It's just been awesome, Ryan.
Yeah, and what I guess, Ryan, let me ask another question. You know, it sounds like part of the meeting is to get people to do some vision casting about what you guys look like in the future. Can you kind of peek around the veil a little bit and kind of tell our listeners and viewers what, no proprietary, but what's the next thing you think, or what's the next technique, or human?
It's a great question, Bruce. And you know, this is what I like about. There's a lot of times people in business are putting together strategic plans. They get a binder. They spend all year putting a binder like this together, and then they do exactly what I do. And it goes and sits back there, and then they look at it about a year from now. What I love about the system is it's a simple two-page strategy document, and it's the first page is all about envisioning, you know, what's that BHAG out there, that big goal that we're going to go to, and 10 years out. And then taking it and breaking it down, distilling to what does 3 years from now have to look like in order to be on track to get to that 10-year goal. And when you do that exercise, it's so simple and profound because you're not trying to write the business plan around it. You're simply trying to envision the future and create that shared direction. And for us, I do believe is that the next 3 to 10 years, we're going to see an evolution for our business. Not a revolution, but an evolution. And it all has to do around the end consumer. But how do customers want to buy products today? How do they want to engage with brands? And what does that communication ultimately look like? Oh. And our dealer network today, you know, looking just at the U.S. and Canada, you know, 275, 300 strong, phenomenal people going out there and doing amazing things in their communities and growing. But the end consumer, we've got to be able to adapt to what their needs are ultimately. And how do we help the dealer get there? And it's never to go around our dealer because that's the strength of our business. It's to assist them in getting to the end consumer. And so when you look at like the last year, I'm sure, you know, maybe you two gentlemen bought something off of Amazon, perhaps. You look at the e-commerce, if you will, and ordering and curbside pickup, just all these different ways for customers to get the products and services that they want. That's where we've got to evolve to is that how do we help our dealers connect with the customer of tomorrow as effectively as what they're doing today. And that's a guessing game a little bit as to what the consumer is going to ultimately want and look like. But I don't think it's that big of a guess that we can't really put some really good meat on that bone and be able to adapt our business model to really meet their needs and ultimately, again, benefit our dealers today. Yeah. And so they're bigger, better, and stronger. One of the things that probably more than you want to get into is another group that we subscribe to. It's called ITR, which stands for the Institute for Trends Research. And it's a firm that they do economic forecasting. And they look out 10 to 15 years. And their whole shtick, if you will, dating back to the 40s, is about leading indicators. It's not about to tell us what happened in the past and why. It's about how do we predict what's coming and prepare ourselves for whatever that is, because the future is coming. It's just a matter of are we ready or not. And what they're projecting in economic cycles, just talking to the U.S., is a slight recession coming up here in 25, 26, and a depression, a global depression in 2030, the back half of 2030. Through the middle of 2036, and Bruce, looking at your face, that's what most people when they hear global depression. It's, I'm going to go dig a hole and crawl in it, and I'll see you in about 7 years. And it's a negative if we let it be, but it's a positive if we know it's coming. So what are we going to do now to prepare? And that's what I get excited about. It says, you know, we sell a premium price product, and you know, we go into a global depression. To sell cheaper product, but we're probably not going to sell nearly as much as what we are today. So how are we preparing the dealer, ultimately that independent business owner, to be successful through what looks to be, you know, a rocky time in the world's history? Again, it's not a negative, it just is. And so how do we adapt the model to make sure that person survives that economic cycle? And that's all it is. It's an economic cycle.
And with that, man, we got to wind it up, man. We're inside 1 minute left here for today's show, man. That was fast. You know, thanks so much, Ryan, for coming on the show today and sharing. We got to get you back because I have about 1,000 more questions. I'd be selling product and having a Shopify account off the side and double hitting. I was probably against the rules. Anyway, thanks for coming on today. We really appreciate you coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity. Really, really love engaging conversations like this. And yeah, hey, man. It's just fun. It's just fun.
Real easy. And folks, be with us next week on the Concierge Coaches Show. And don't forget, you can see us on Apple Podcast here, as well as we're archived on the LA Talk Radio station site, latalkradio.com. Audible.com, and as well as iHeartMedia. So, and several other aggregators run us. So we're just so happy that we're the little podcast that could and has on the back of some big people. So we love that. So folks, take care. Of a blessed and safe week from Bruce and Wayne. We'll see y'all next time here on the Concierge Coaches Show and LA Talk Radio. Take care, everybody.
Thank you, Ryan.
Bye. Bye.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.